inspire like others. But God uses you in spite of your weaknesses and empowers you where you don't measure up. So I feel like the only way to be good enough was to let God make me good enough. And God made me good enough through Jesus covering all of my wrongs. So I feel like we're only enough because God is enough.
Interesting. Anybody want to comment on either Karen or Shanique with the fourth mode, digging mode you?
Well, I'm sort of along the line of what Sister Shanique's saying, because I after reading so much of the Word of God and being mentored and tutored by so many different brothers and sisters throughout my life, and knowing about the afterlife, of which no one can really tell you they've been there and come back, and what it's really like. We only have the hope and assurance of those that was told from us from our foreparents. And the Bible says, scarcely will a righteous man enter into the heavens. Scarcely. Now, if I'm gonna scarcely get in and I'm righteous, what the devil I'm gonna say is this enough for?
Interesting stuff. Yeah, interesting stuff. I really think this is an interesting question. If you kind of sit back and look at it, can you hear yourself saying this to the Lord?
No, not me.
No, I mean, think about it.
No.
Are you thinking about you say, well, listen, you don't want to sound like the publican up there before the Lord, but I go to Bible study, I go to worship service, I go to other services that we have, I go to different Christian functions, I donate my time, I do this, I do that, you know. So what I do is, but I want you to hear what I'm saying now. I think what I do is enough. But is that really the question? Is that he says, "Lord, I think what I do is good enough."
Nah, nah,
Now, not what
nah.
you now. Don't let us not confuse what we do. Is it enough what we're doing? We may be, I mean, when you sit back and think about it, you may be doing a lot of things. Now, the question
Right.
is it what you're doing good enough, or is it enough things, or is what you're doing? The way you're doing it, is that good enough? I mean, the way, that's why I wanted to hear the different ways you may deal with this. And I've heard little pieces of how you're dealing with this question, and it's good, but let's see you try to
One
say.
thing, one thing
Huh?
I would say, Pastor. Oh, go ahead, go ahead. Oh, one thing
Well,
I
I
would
said
say is,
nothing.
one
Yeah, go
thing
ahead,
I would
Pooh.
say is, okay. One thing I would say is, oh, one thing I would say is that we had talked about this before. My first question is, say, Lord, is my name in that book? That's the only thing I'm worried about, man. I don't a person that would say something like that would be a very arrogant, selfish person. To me, only an arrogant, selfish person would do that, because even as we live on this earth to whatever age we live to be, it's never, we can always. We always say it's never enough. We did never enough. We could have did more for this individual. We could have did more for this family. We could have did more for the community. We could have did more for our family. Whatever. It's never enough. No. I can't even conceive that.
No, I couldn't say that to the Lord. I know I wouldn't say it to him,
No.
because we're supposed to be like reading, studying the word, and we're always being told to do this, pray more, do this more, do more. And we're always encouraged to do that, but some of us don't do it. So that's why I say I don't think I do enough for him, for the Lord. for my husband and for others. I'm always thinking of more things to do for the Lord.
I'm just throwing this out there. Is it a question of how much we're doing, or what we're doing, is it good enough? For
Well,
example,
Wayne,
you follow what I'm saying?
what I
No,
understood
but
you to say was it a good, I think I've done good enough, or maybe I misunderstood the question. Let me
no, it's
see.
not a question of misunderstanding. It's written this way purposely
No,
that I would not
I'm
do.
trying to look at, Lord, I think that what I do is good enough. Well, then that's just saying that whatever I do is fine. If I just, go to church and sit in the bench, I'm doing good. That's the way it sounds to me. Whatever I do is fine because that's good enough.
Okay, that's easy.
That's the way
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying that's the right answer, but I'm saying by the way that I interpret this question, it's like whatever I do is fine. That's the way it's saying, because I think what I do is good enough. So if I
Okay.
just walk to the church steps and then turn around and go back home, I've done enough.
Now, see, now what you just said, I think is part key to what we're looking at here. You say now what you do is good enough. What you do. Now we're not saying, see, don't get it confused. Whatever I'm doing is enough. Like it's no more than I need to do. But whatever
Yeah.
it is I'm doing, one, what I'm doing is good enough. Not enough,
Right.
but it is good enough. I mean, just think about this. Suppose, give you a hypothetical, because this is something that's real. You live right down the street, or you live right at the corner of the block from your church. And you walk down, you walk to your church for when it's open or whatever, whether it be Bible study, Sunday worship, or other service you may have, you always make your way down there to it. And you say, well, yeah, I think that what I'm doing is good enough. Oh, I did not put in there. You happen to be about 90 plus years old. You gotta walk that whole block. Rain, snow, cold, heat. You walk down there. So in your for you, that might be a great sacrifice. You might look at that as your exercise for the day, or and you feel like, oh, I've done, what I'm doing, I think I'm doing good enough. No, it may not be enough, but it's what I'm doing, the way I'm doing, I'm pushing my way through and all that, and I think, I'm just throwing that out there. Dig a move, just so your hand go.
Well, to bring it down to today, I would say to me, I look at different goalposts of different teachers of mine or mentors of mine. I look at Aunt Rose with all the different families she took in. I said, if I can get to there, I'm almost achieved true Christianity. I look at how some of the other, I know a mother, she was 86, 87 years old. She taking care of a 94-year-old and did that for many years. Helped her out, not just taking her place, driving and doing. I look at that as one of my goal posts. I look at people who, through extraordinary circumstances, still achieve the purposes that God said, helping others, those of lesser estate, the widows, the orphans, the children, feeding them, clothing them. I look at that, visiting those in the prison, the sick. I look at that as goalposts for my pinnacle in my Christianity with God. And when I look at the other leaders that, well, to me, have achieved the pinnacle. If I can get halfway where they are, I might be almost there.
So, yeah, go ahead, Shanique.
I was looking at Luke 17:9 and 10, where it says, does he think that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.
Good passage. Good passage. Yeah. And if we were looking at, like I said, we were expressing two different things I'm hearing. Now, we look at that, I might say to you, yes, me and my church, we have a little shelter or whatever you want to pray, and we take care of 10 people in there. You know, we house them, we feed them, and sometimes we do that for 10 people. Now, you may turn around and say, yeah, well, you know, I take care of two people, and I think that's good enough. And I said to you, how are you going to say that's good enough? You say, well, I only have a three-bedroom home. I have them in my home, and they occupy my other two bedrooms, and none of us are in the greatest of health, but we do okay, and we have enough food that everybody's, you know, could pour, they could temper their food, and we're able to pay our heat bill, and you know, when it's cold out and we have air conditioning, when it's hot out and everybody's comfortable. So I think that's good enough for me. You know, because I could take care of them comfortably. If I took it any more, that would be a stretch. That would be a strain on all of us. It takes a little bit more food away from us, you know, and you know, comfortability. I mean, we, you know, I you know, to try to make everybody comfortable, it would be a little bit of a strain. So I think what I'm doing is good enough. Would that be wrong? Would that be wrong to say? Anybody?
I'm not going to say it's wrong because that's how you feel about it. But I, like I said, I'm not going to say it's wrong, but I mean, is it possible you could do more?
I mean, she said, but see, but that's the question. Is it about doing more or doing what you do well?
Okay.
See, that's why I this question is worded this way. And one of y'all said something which is very important, is how you are interpreting how this is being written. That's what
Well,
I'm looking to see.
that's what I
And
said.
that's what I'm looking to see. And that's what we're seeing right here. We're seeing about two or three different approaches to this question, which is all right. Which is all right. Like you stated, that woman wouldn't be wrong in what she's saying. She's not bragging. She's not being arrogant. But she's just stating a point of fact. If I took in somebody else, it would be too much. Because, you know, with all the things that I'm doing and I'm
Right.
able to do comfortably for the ones that I do have in there. You know, you're talking about additional laundry. You're talking about, you know, little things that we take for granted. But with people, things just happen. You know, so, yeah, dig well.
Well, no, Pastor, you got a good point of where you're going with that, but the one thing I'm looking at to this whole people that have interjected in what you're saying is one key factor here, and the key factor is humility. And I go to Romans 12 and 3. Romans 12 and 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We're talking about eternal life. We're not talking about no walk in the park. Eternal life is something, what the Bible say? What can you give in exchange for your soul? Nothing.
Right.
If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what have you gained? Nothing. It's nothing. When you're talking about eternal life, and Lord, I did enough. Anyone who would say you did enough to the Lord, you might have to blow your brains out in front of
My. Well, you know, isn't that amazing? Because when you said that, what popped into my head is when we see certain people in the scriptures that have been commended for what they did, the Lord did that. I mean, the Lord said that the woman that gave her mite, she gave more than the other person did. And what about the woman said, we got just enough for me and my son? And the prophet said to her, what? Make me some bread. Follow what I'm saying? So we can
That's
look at
faith.
that thing. Yeah, go ahead, D.
No, that's faith. That's
Okay.
faith. When you show that faith in God, that humility, that faith linked together, You get power out of this world. Now, when she fed the man of God that food first, before she fed her son, she had enough food to last for the whole famine.
But she didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah,
well, that's where faith comes in there, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's where faith comes in. That is right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to look at some scriptures, and I thought that Deacon Moses was going to hit one that I had picked. I only got three, you know, but I want you to look at these. Turn to Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, in the 10th verse. I have the NIV as well as the King James Version available. But if somebody has both of my, you know, it'd be good to hear both versions.
Yeah.
I think, what are you reading?
You said the King James.
Is that what you have?
Yeah, that's what I got.
Anybody got an NIV?
Well, I can get that if you want it.
No, what do you have, Shanique?
No, I was looking. You said what chapter? Which one?
Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, the 10th verse.
Okay.
All right, then I'll do an NIV.
You have it, Deacon Moses?
I have a King James Version, yes.
Okay, well, read the NIV, Ecclesiastes 9, chapter 10, verse. Let me hear the NIV first.
Just lost it. Wait a minute. There you go. No, because the page flipped. You said, what chapter? 9th chapter, 10th verse.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. It keep moving. I'm sorry. Okay. 9. Okay. I can't get it for some reason.
I have this is I'm not in the King James thing. I'm in my Women's Destiny Bible, actually.
Well, that's whatever you have, let me hear that first.
Okay. Whenever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. I return.
I'm sorry. let me hear what the King James says.
Well, similar to that. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou go.
Okay.
Now
I
got...
I mean, they all mean the same, but
I got the NIV now.
Read it.
Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom.
My. But you know, so what I, you know, what I'm looking key in any version, they all get to the same point. And the key is whatever you find your hands to do, whatever it is you're doing, physically, manually, whatever way you want to look at it, but whatever it is you find yourself to do it with all your might.
Mm-hmm.
That is the key. You know, you do it with all your might. And in the version that Sneak read and in the King James, it simply says, do it with thy might. But then I like the other way, it says, do it with all your might. Same thing, it's the same point. But the key thing is, you know, about what you do is good enough. He said, well, whatever it is you're doing, do it with all your might. Do it to the best of your ability. Okay? Because when it's all said and done, ain't no second chance. I mean, you know, when you go to the grave, ain't no say, oh, man, I could have, like Deacon Moses, I think, mentioned, hey, I could have did it, or somebody, I could have did a little bit more, or I could have did this along with that. Well, it's too late now.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get a chance to do something, whatever you're doing for somebody, say, well, this is good enough. What I'm doing is good enough. Did you do it with all your might? Did you do it with all that you had to do it? Some of us remember the old saying, be your task great or small. Do it well or not at all.
No, not at all.
You know, y'all remember, everybody remember the good, better, best is awesome. You know, but you do it to the best. Mm-hmm. I mean, why would you have step anyway? You know, oh yeah. I got some people to feed. I can give them a nice bowl of beans. Oh, man. Mm. But you know what? I forgot to make dinner for my house. I'll give them half a bowl. You know, I mean, they may not be full, but hey, it's good enough. You know what I'm saying? You know, whatever you're gonna do, you do it, you know, to the best of your ability. What do y'all think about that? How do y'all think out this verse? Does it lend anything to the question?
I think it's
Yeah,
fair.
I think so.
What did you say, Big Mark?
Well, I said I think it's fair. That's a very fair statement. Looking at reality of what people do, no matter who you are or what position you in, that's a very fair statement.
You do it with all your might, right?
Yes.
Yeah, do it all your might. Okay. And I wrote this down, Mo, you're very close to you. Romans 12th chapter, in the first verse. Nigga Moses, we read the third, but I want us to look at that first verse. When you get it, you know, just let us know what version you're reading, and let me hear it.
Well, I got the King James here, 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
I got the NIV.
Let's hear that. I like how they worded it.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship.
True and proper worship. My. Does yours say a little bit different, Ashley?
Yeah, a little 12:1.
Yes.
Yeah, just a little different. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Okay, very, very, very close to what King James said. But do you see this? Now, he said, listen, not a question of what you choose to do or whatever. You just present yourself to the Lord. Okay? The writer reminding us that offering oneself to the Lord in total obedience to Him, in other words, you're letting Him dictate whatever it is you're supposed to be doing, whatever it is He wants you to do. And this should not only be the duty of man, and hear what he said, not just save man. This is the duty of man. But it is the least we can do when it comes to expressing our sincere worship to the Lord. In worship to the Lord, just present it. You know how we like to teach it, how we like to say, Lord, I just praise you. As what the songwriter said, I give myself away. In other words, Lord, just have your way with me and thank you. Just take total, because you just give yourself to the Lord. What he's saying, just present yourself to the Lord. In other words, Lord, here I am. Use me in whatever way you want. Have your way with me. Just present yourself to the Lord. So if I'm doing that, he said, that's the least you can do. This is your duty that you should be performing. What is good enough? Well, Lord, you just take control of me from, oh Lord, from 7 in the morning until 8 at night. You got me, Lord. And, you got me, oh Lord, from Monday through Friday, but Lord, let me have the weekend. And,
Yeah, but what you doing on the weekend?
don't worry about that, Lord. It's mine. You got 5 or 6 days. That's all right. That's all right. You only asked us for one day, but Lord, I'm giving you 6. Let me have one day, Lord. But he said, the writer said to us, no, you just give yourself to the Lord.
You froze.
Whom I am?
Nah, you
No,
all right?
I see
Hello?
you.
No,
Yes,
you froze then. It must be you, because I'm
No,
looking at it.
because everybody on the whole thing had frozen for a second.
Oh, that's your,
Oh,
that's your,
yeah.
yeah, that's you.
Yeah.
That
Yeah.
Yeah. But that, see, so you see what the writer is saying here?
Yeah.
Just give yourself to the Lord. Here I am, Lord. Here I'm is. Do what you want. You know? Wow.
Well, you
Any
know what,
comment?
Pastor?
Huh?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Realistically, what you said is 100% true, because I was talking to some brothers at one time at a church, and I said to them, what about Saturday? We get together and do this. He said, oh, look, now Saturday, that's my day. a day off and stuff. I'm like, well, what about the Lord? Well, that's usually my day. I was like, all right, never mind. And I left him alone. Nah. Whenever you get somebody hesitant to do something, especially when it's, well, this is me. Don't be like me, y'all. When people talk all that dumb junk about God, the first in my life, and all that dumb junk, and then when you ask about doing something on a weekend, not even a couple hours. Oh, man, that's my time. Forget it. I'd rather get a stranger and pay him some money and come help me in God's house. Let him get a blessing from God. Let him get a blessing. He'll bless him.
Well, what about the person that said no? Why don't you try to coerce him into come? I mean, get him to finish doing what he should be doing.
Because the Bible tells you. The Bible tell you as a man. I'm gonna tell you the whole verse because everybody always say a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The Bible says a man think in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he saith to thee, but his heart is not with thee.
Okay.
That's what it means. You'll do it if you got something to offer, if you got something to do it, but their heart ain't in it. If your heart ain't in it, and you're supposed to be a member here, then you might as well not be a member.
Well, before I say anything, Deacon Smith had his hand up. Deacon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Oh, no, it's all good. Hey, everybody. I was just listening and everything, and I think Pastor Cotton has said this. From what I was hearing so far, I think sometimes when we hear good enough, I think we immediately kind of put our judgments of the way good enough sounds, because sometimes good enough is good enough, I remember one time you were, Uncle June, this was years ago, you were saying, yeah, you were talking about cleaning the table, and you was like, yeah, it's cleaning up. You're like, that's good enough. You're like, no, is it good enough or is it clean? You understand what I'm saying? Like, is it clean or is it good enough? So I think, like, sometimes good enough is interpreted like it's lack somewhere. But the reality of the situation is sometimes what I just did was good enough. But we don't like the term, I guess, enough. Does it sound like some lack is there? Because I could be like, man, what I did was good enough. I know it was. I put my heart and my soul into it. I know what I did was good enough. So I think the way the people says good enough, or the way that we read it, I think it's like interpreted like, yo, this boy's a slacker, or she's a slacker. What do you mean good enough? Or they're not working as hard as I would work. And we automatically start to think like, we have an expectation of what their good enough should be like. And I think that's where we start to, we can just go down a bunch of different rabbit holes, I think, with it. But I definitely believe everything that the scriptures, as far as like working into the Lord, is everything is, this is what we're supposed to be doing. That is our reasonable service. But I do think sometimes I think the judgment and what we do takes away from, the legitimacy of a sincere comment of what I did was really good enough, I thought,
And you raised something, like you said, you weren't here at the very beginning, because what has been stated at the very beginning is that this passage, this is one reason why we chose this passage. It could be looked at from different perspectives. As you just pointed out, it's snow on the ground. We our pavements and all are covered with snow. I made a nice path on my pavement so people could get by. But Mose chose to shovel his whole pavement. But I can say, well, the path was good enough. People just got to get by. It satisfied the law. So, if somebody fell, I said, they weren't working. They weren't walking down the path. The path is satisfied the law's requirement, so the path is good enough. So we're talking about practical things, and it might be, and even as Deacon Smith just pointed out, that might be good enough. But when we look at it scripturally, he said, "Listen, whatever you find yourself to do, do it with all your might." Well, maybe all your might was just to be able to do that path. You was wore out when you made the path. That might be the best you could do. You might be saying, if you could do a path, you could do the whole payment. Well, you're 75 years old. The path was good enough. If you do any more, you'd be pulling the Isaac Hayes. You may be laying down there on the pavement. Who is he laying out there? Is he praying? No, he's dead. He didn't stop with the path. One, it depends on what it is you're actually doing. But I think, like I said, I love this verse because you can pull a lot of things from it. To the individual, you know whether you've done all you can do or you've done it to the best of your ability. And the best of your ability might not be the same. It might not be the same as Shanique's. My ability may not reach the same as her ability. She's strong enough, able to do the whole payment. I said, listen, I was done when I made that pass. So that might have been all that I could do. That was my best. Y'all see that? Can we see that?
Yeah. And I feel like this. If Shanique is complaining because I didn't do any more, come on and finish mine.
So, that's beginning to spit out. If I'm hearing that correctly, you know, part of what he said, you know, and you brought in an element that we didn't bring out. I don't think nobody brought it out. Is it really our place to judge what somebody else has done?
That was my next question.
You know, in the same book in Romans, you know, who are we to judge another man's servant? You know when Jesus was talking about going to dine with the publicans and all that, initially they were talking about him going there to sup with them. But I like how Jesus flipped the script if you read that carefully. You know, how did judging another man's servant come in? I'm just going to get some meat. But you see how he flipped the script. And we need to look at that in the scriptures, because a lot of times we get caught in just pulling out one thing that we want to pull out of the passage. But a lot of times there are many lessons we can get out of that same passage. You know, but in this case, Lord, I think what I do is good enough. This is what the person addressed. You know, what do you think of the Lord? And the Lord will show you some of the things he's written in his word. Whatever you find your hand to do, do it with all your might. He said, I urge you, brother and sister, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your true and proper worship. You know, offer yourself. You know, if you just, listen, if somebody's offering themselves to you, that means you do with them what you want. Well, here I am. I'm at your service. I'm at your command. Do what you want to do with me. That, he said, well, it doesn't matter what I do now, I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do. But I like these other companion verses. The Lord told you to clean up the church. Well, you halfway cleaned it up. You dusted it a little bit. You know? No, if you're going to do it with all your might. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Okay? Do it to the best of your ability. One more pass I want to bring out. Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 17th verse.
What is it? Colossians what?
The 3rd chapter and the 17th verse.
Okay.
If you get it, let us know what version you're reading. And just go ahead and read it.
This is the King James. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
I get it. NIV.
Go ahead.
And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and of course, Shanique, if you want to read the other version you're reading, you're welcome.
Oh, sure. It's about the same. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Okay. So now what are y'all pulling from this? Tell me what you're pulling from this.
Well, they want you to do whatever you're going to do. Do it unto the Lord and not unto man, number one. You're not there to please any man. You're there to please the Lord in whatever you do. If it's to do it toward the sanctuary or the edifice you have, if you're doing it for a neighbor, for a family member, for a friend, whatever. Do it unto God in love and sincerity.
Anybody else want to, piggyback on that? Any more different comments or whatever?
Well, no, I was just in agreement with Deacon Cotton. It almost reminds me of, being a workman, not being ashamed, rightly divided work. We're a workman unto God. You know, we're not a workman to please people. This is unto God. So I think Deacon Cotton hit the nail on the head right there. Well, you did. I mean, as far as bringing up the scripture, but you know, yeah, that's where I was with it.
And now I'm looking at this and I'm saying the writer's letting us know that whether it be in what you say or what you do, we need to remember that we are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to thank God the Father that we are able to do what it is we do through his son. Did not his son say we can do all things through him?
Amen.
Even on your job. You gotta remember, you're still an ambassador for Christ. You govern yourself in according. You govern yourself in such a fashion that the Lord can get glory out of your life.
Right.
I mean, I don't. It doesn't matter to me if I'm a construction worker. Everybody's cussing like sailors or what have you. That doesn't mean I have to.
No.
I govern myself in such a fashion that the Lord can get glory out of me. I don't have to go around, come to work every day with a big old gigantic 9-inch cross around my neck and all of that. I don't have to do all that. But that doesn't mean I cannot govern my speech. I cannot govern what I do in such a fashion that, as the word reminds me, that nobody can speak ill of me without lying. Nobody, So whatever we do, okay, whether it be in what you say or what you physically do it, you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you give, and don't exclude God the Father. You give him thanks, okay, that you're able to even do what it is you do. That makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
So for the person, as we stated earlier, the person that raised this question and made this statement, rather, Lord, I think what I do is good enough. And then they slipped up when they said, "Well, Lord, what do you think?" That's when they slipped up with the question. Listen to Deacon Mother, they slipped up with both parts of the question. First, talking about what I do is good enough. Okay, well, if what you do and whatever it is you did you do it with all your might? Did you do it unto the Lord? If you did just these three, and we know we could have picked up many other scriptures. We were given a couple of others anyway. We were given by Shanique. I believe it was Shanique that said Luke 17, 9 and 10. We were given that. We were given Romans 12, 3 by Deacon Moses. And I'm sure everybody, can pull out even more scriptures. But, when we look at these, I think these three are very important. Because when it comes to what you are actually doing, and then it comes to you yourself, it addresses you yourself. Hey, the most reasonable thing you do, your most sincere act of pure worship. True and proper worship is just give yourself to the Lord. That's the best we can do. It's just like sending the Lord, I don't know what it is you want me to do, what it is I should be doing, what I should be, even agreeing to do by you. Here, Lord, here's this affidavit, here's this contract, here's this. Yeah, I've already signed it, Lord. You fill it in. Wow. How many of us are willing to do that? I don't know what it is you want me to do, Lord, but I'm signing already. I agree to it. It's all right with me. Whatever you say, Lord, I'm good. Here it is. Now you fill it in. Tell me what you want me to do. Wow. Well, Deacon Mose,
No,
God,
I ain't seen it.
yeah.
Thank you.
So, what do y'all think about this question? And what this? I mean, like I said. This was a question I heard some time ago from somebody. Like I said, I had posted some of these at church, and I said I wanted to present them to the group. We had different results. Deacon Moses was amazed that somebody wouldn't even have the audacity to say something like this to the Lord. But it's out there. They said it. So what are you going to do with that?
He voiced it, but I felt it. I'd be scared.
I mean, Lord, every now and then I bring up my man from name was Case Me, but in that movie when he saw that guy that was being attacked all the time by those harpies, I don't know, Jason,
Jason's
Jason,
organized.
yeah, and he cried out to God. He said, "God, I knew I was a sinner, but I didn't sin every day. Why does he punish me every day? But I got that when I first heard that, I wasn't even a teenager. I saw it, Jason and the organizer when we lived on 18th Street. I wasn't even in Double Pig, but I never forgot that line. Just like that. And I thought about that. Now sometimes in the Lord, with this passage of scripture we know that we can look at now. But some people feel as though they're being punished every day, even though I didn't do it wrong every day. And there's a way to address that. I'm not going to go down that road now. I threw that out there. But Lord, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How come I can't get blessed like so-and-so is getting blessed? Now, remember we mentioned he sounds just like that publican standing up there doing it. Oh, I give this. I do this. I do that. Like what I'm doing is good enough. And we, you know, we know it's not about work. Well, definitely not about work when it comes to salvation. You know, but we've also been encouraged in this word. I see it, D. I'll get you that you know, that we should be working out our soul salvation. You know, I think there might be a handful of people still, even in this day and time, that misunderstand and maybe misinterpret that passage. But I like to believe that we all understand it's not, you know, you're not working to be saved, but because you are saved, you've got that unction to do certain work. Demos, go ahead before you get your thought.
I was gonna say, I was talking today in the locker room at the Y, and we talk with all various people, older, younger, different, diverse cultures, and we were just talking, me and some of the men, and we would just come to the conclusion that it's mean people are mean because they put that themselves, and they're not happy in the position they're in, but they forget they put themselves in the position they are in. We talk about basically 17 on up. Not youth too much, but 17 or up, you about made up your mind what you're going to do. You're going to be crazy or you're going to be sane. So we're talking and we came to the conclusion, the reason why people are so doggone mean is because they unhappy with their life. But put themselves in that position in their life.
Yeah.
So the only person you got to be mad at is yourself.
Well, that don't work.
It don't work, and they wind up killing people that ain't never did nothing. The innocent people, that's one of the things God hates. You wind up killing people, raping and molesting kids and all kinds of dumb junk because you ain't happy. That's it, in a nutshell.
I think you hit on something there, Deke, that I don't know if you realize how important it is. I'm not gonna put anybody on blast. But what I would say, see, when you come across people that they're angry, I'm mad, I'm this, I think one of the first questions, not the first question, ask them, who are you mad at? Who are you angry at? What are you mad about? What are you angry about? We need to ask that question. That's for their benefit as much as yours, to make them pinpoint where they're angry is. Because you might come up with the conclusion that you did it. Really, the only person you have a right to be angry at is you.
Yeah.
If you hadn't done A and B, C would not have happened.
You know?
So if anybody want to be angry about, yes. You know, how many times have you seen people, I mean, I've seen this happen. It's a minor thing. Somebody opened the door. They came into the store and knocked over to somebody's child that was right there. And they would have jumped, hey, man, you hit my guy. I remember saying, hold. He said, hold. You're supposed to be watching your child. Why would you allow your child, little teeny child, to play in front of a door that people are coming in the store? You're wrong. Tell them, no, you can't play in front of the door, baby. You know, we see our little child get their finger caught in the door. We ready to sue the store. No, it's not the store's fault. In that moment, we're not, you know, that person is not thinking rationally, you know, and all that. All they know, oh, my child is hurt. And you want to lash out and blame somebody. Get them to, you know, get them to be introspective. Wait, no, why you ain't? And then you point out the fact. No, if you didn't have your child there, you didn't allow them to play in the door, that would not have happened. You were supposed to be watching your child. So what you're saying, like I said, what you're saying there, D, is very important. And that's something that we, and I'm saying that to everyone here, because whether you want to believe it or not, you're all in different capacities, ministers. Okay? When you get in certain situations, it's good to know how to address that. Get to the bottom of it first before you try to deal with everything around it. Let's deal with how we got here first. Yes, I'm sorry your child got their finger caught in the door. I'm sorry that they got knocked over when the door was open, but they should not be playing there. Little things, y'all. How many times have you been going shopping and you go taking your cart down the aisle and you got one person there with their cart in the middle of the aisle?
Yeah, and then you ask them to move, and it's a problem.
They look at you like you're wrong. And all they had to do was either move to the left or to the right, and people could get by. You can't just bogart the whole place and then get angry because I actually, excuse me, can I get by? You look at me, like I don't know. But again, that's maybe something for another time. We can't be excited over how people govern themselves, why people do these stupid things. We need to remember that's what folks do. That's what folks do. And especially people in the world. You can't expect them to be courteous and kind and that's not the nature. People think about themselves, well, I want what I want. I want to do what I want to do. I say, yeah, I'm sitting here in the middle of this where I can look at both sides. But yet you're impeding everybody else from getting by. Well, oh well. I think what I do is good enough. Lord, I think what I do is good enough. What do you think? Do y'all think we come up with any, a consensus on how we should deal with this?
I don't think we if he's talking to God, I don't have to deal with it at all. Or he or she, if that's their question, that's their question to God. But one of the things well, you hit on two verses that I had, and one was work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. This is after, it was by grace through faith you're saved. So I don't know what God responds, the Lord response would be to him or her by saying, I do good enough. But if I feel like you like, and I feel like you were saying, if you're crossing all these boxes off the list, you are doing good enough. Of the list of the things that we should be doing as believers, hey, maybe you are doing good enough. Like Uncle Mo said, you're feeding the poor, you help, and what you say, what you do to the least of these, you do to me. So my thing is, there's a laundry list of things that could be considered good enough, but like I said, I'm not going to sit up here and say what's good enough for somebody. But yeah, the moxie to say, Lord, now if you're asking the question, Lord, is what I'm doing good enough? I think it would be, is what I'm doing good enough? I think it would be a better question than phrase it like, Lord, I'm doing good enough. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Well, no. I hear what you're saying, and I think that hearing all the looking at all the different perspectives that people, each one of you have addressed this question from, see, there is no right and wrong here. Deacon Smith, you said more than you really know. One, it's Lord that's the righteous judge, not me. He's the one that knows my heart condition when I'm doing this. Am I doing this from my heart? Remember, we just talked about a part of this last week. When the person is out there preaching, but they preach for vainglory. And I believe it was Paul. What did he say? Hey, no, if he's preaching the gospel, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? Well, this person, you doing what you do. You think you've done good enough? Well, that's what you think. Deacon Smith said, yeah, it's. It's what you think, and you think you did good enough between you and the Lord. And that's fine. And then also, as we pointed out earlier, one, it depends on what it is you're talking about. We don't know all of that stuff, and we don't have to. We don't have to. We know we can come up with a thousand different situations where a person may say, well, what I did is good enough. But what I think a lot of us have in the back of our mind. You said whatever it is you're doing, period, is good enough. You're living the way you live and all that. Well, we didn't go that deeply with this. We singled out certain situations or certain circumstances or certain acts. But we as a people, as a person, Lord, I'm living my life, and what I'm doing, I believe is good enough. But that's a whole different way of looking at this thing now. But if we keep it in the context of the scriptures that we've been using, and from the perspective that we've been looking at this position, I think we've come up with some good answers here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the right and wrong answer. Initially, Deacon Moses was saying, what could you say to God that what you do is good enough? But when you bring out certain situations, it might be good enough. Deacon Smith brought that out. I gave a couple of scenarios. But if you're looking at your overall living, the way you live, and what you do every day or whatever is good enough, oh, that's a whole different ballgame. You know, I don't think I would have the audacity to say to God, I know I would not feel like Deacon Moses. I'm not going to have the audacity to stand before God and say, oh, Lord, I think what I do is good enough. Oh, I preach your word. I teach your word. I try to treat my neighbor like myself. Oh, what I'm doing is okay. It's good enough. Not me. I don't want the Lord to start pointing out my flaw.
I don't want him absolutely.
No, I don't want him to do that. No. Oh, you think what you're doing is good enough? Yeah, go ahead, D.
Well, not only that, Pastor. What if he give you that strong voice like roaring thunder? What?
No, I don't want none of that. I'm not gonna have it that. You know, no. I'm not gonna think of myself more highly than I ought to be. I'm not gonna do that. I think it's been some good and valuable scriptures brought out by each and every one and good perspectives. And you know, I like that. You know, so this I thank God for. You know, even choosing this particular verse. And like I said, for the next time the Lord allows us to be able to meet, we're going to be addressing some more of the other ones. Like I said, these are some of the questions that were posed to me. And I just want to share them with the group and see what y'all, it might be a couple that y'all might recognize because they come from previous Bible studies or services, wherever. And like I said, I had them actually, these were actually posted in the church on the wall. If you might have been, some of them might look familiar to you. That's what, you know, Lord laid on me to present this way, and I'm hoping, pray that it's been it's been profitable. I'll use that term. You know, it's been profitable. Maybe somebody is going to want to, you might be confronted with somebody that says something similar like this, and maybe some of these passages of scripture that we've looked at may come back to you and might be, you know, something you might want to share. You know, we hope so. Any other questions or comments?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, go ahead, Alicia.
No, I was listening to you.
Okay. Do y'all think this was a decent question to address?
Yeah, I liked it. It was a good interesting thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought
yeah.
He said something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize I was talking. I was unmuted. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. How you doing, Reverend?
I'm doing fine. So you're gonna start the lesson all over again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, you'll see what happens. We don't have to speak on, but
yeah. I know a good friend like you, you'll do that for a friend, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only thing I will repeat and share with you that we were addressing one of the questions that was posed some time ago at Bible study, and I just brought it back to the group. The question was, somebody said, Lord, I think what I do is good enough. What do you think? And we were addressing that. We were addressing that, and you know, we found it quite interesting and good. Yeah, that's what we addressed this evening. So you came just in time for us to, if you came about a minute or two later, you'd have found something special there.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been cool.
Well, we got out our study about 5 minutes ago, and I said, let me see if I can Just some vegetables over here.
So we're at that point where everybody has exhausted the questions and comments that they had, and we were just getting ready to have somebody close us out in prayer. But we will give way to you if you want to say something. We will give way to you.
No, I didn't want to say that. I just wanted to hear what was being said.
Yeah, I'm
You
sorry. That,
too. No
but
problem.
it's good. Apparently, if you just got out a little few minutes ago, sounds to me like y'all had a good spirited Bible study.
Oh, we did. We Luke chapter 5:1-11, when Jesus told him to launch out into the deep and catch a many
Oh,
fish.
okay.
Yeah.
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 So we praise God for allowing us to be, all of us, to be illuminated by and through His Word and Him imparting His wisdom and understanding to us that we may gain the knowledge from His Word. Having said that, anyone want to close us out in our prayer? Anyone? I don't want to deny anybody that wants to pray. Okay. Well, let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We praise you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to come together this evening and to look into your word, Father, discuss your word and be illuminated, Lord, with the wisdom and understanding you've given us. We pray, Lord, that you have allowed us to rightly divide your word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that it has got into us and illuminated us that we might even spread it in this world of darkness that we're in. As we get ready to depart from each other's company this evening, we pray that you continue to bless us, bless our home. Continue to keep us safe as you have been, Father, for we know that it's been you, not we ourselves, and we thank you for it. And again, we pray, Lord, that your word will sink deep down into our very hearts, and just fill us, Father, and illumine us and strengthen us as we go about it. This we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Man.
Amen.
Good night, folks.
All right. Good night,
All
everybody.
right. All right, everybody. Thank you.
All
Thank
right, call me Ron.
All right. Good night, everyone.
All
Good
right.
night.
Naomi, you still here? All right, good night.